The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and they said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left." These are the so-called first apostles. Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will indeed drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give. It is for those for whom it has been prepared." Now when the other 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Why? Because they wanted the same thing. So Jesus summoned all of them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles, they lord it over people. They're great ones. They make their authority felt. It shall not be this way among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. The human one did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a young man, I went away to a seminary in Cincinnati. I had grown up in Kansas, and I felt I was making a great sacrifice. And they taught me history and literature and all kinds of things, Greek and Latin. Sadly, they didn't teach me Spanish. I don't know what we were supposed to learn Greek and Latin for, who we were supposed to talk to. And the next 4 years, they taught me philosophy, which was good. It taught me how to think. And then 4 more years, they taught me theology. And all that time, you want to know, I was very well taken care of. And when I went home to Kansas, I was the golden boy of all the family because I was going to be a priest. So I was treated better than my brothers and sisters, I guess. And better than my cousins. This is the one who's going to be the priest. And then in the seminary, nuns from Mexico did our laundry for us. Then later on, the brothers did the laundry for those of us who were going to be priests. In fact, we got pretty well taken care of. I never had to worry about paying a bill for 13 years. I bet none of you ever had that luxury. Now, that was called a seminary. And that was to prepare us for ministry. And I'm very grateful for the many wonderful things it gave me. But I want you to compare that with the seminary that was just described in this gospel. It's a very different kind of training. In fact, I think you could conclude from this gospel that you shouldn't even trust that anyone has anything to say unless they have drank of the cup that Jesus drank and baptized with the baptism that he was baptized. This is his only seminary requirement. It's not learning Greek and Latin. It's not having other people do your laundry for you. It's learning how to do something yourself. And something that the ego doesn't want to do at all, which is suffer. You see, until you've been led to the edge of your own resources and learn what your real resource source is, you really don't have anything to say about the gospel. You don't. It's all just seminary textbook ideas and words. And you think you believe them because you were taught them, but you really haven't lived them or risked anything for them. It's amazing how we can miss the point. So Jesus is talking here to ordinary fishermen. He doesn't tell them, not that there's anything wrong with it, but he doesn't tell them to go off and study philosophy and theology. He doesn't tell them to join some big institution and then they'll have something to say. He says, you must drink of the cup that I will drink. In other words, you gotta enter into at least one situation in your life where you're not in control, you're not in charge, you're not right, you're not winning, you're not number one, you're not the best, and see how you deal with that. And if you can come through that and come out the other side, still happy, still trustful, still loving, then you have something to say. Then you're ordained. That's the real ordination. And you know what? Some of those people have the real ordination, and some of those are you. And some of us standing up here in that sense have never been ordained. In fact, we spent our whole life avoiding suffering, always looking good, always being on top, always being number one, always going home and everybody bowing and scraping. Yes, Father. What do you need, Father? How can I help you, Father? Aren't you wonderful, Father? That's all I've heard all my life. This is dangerous, brothers and sisters. It's dangerous for the ego because you start believing your own public relations program. And you start thinking you really are wiser and better and smarter and holier than everybody else. And a lot of the time, it isn't true. The only requirement for having something to say about the gospel is going through the mystery of death and suffering and coming out the other side better and more alive and more in love and, believe it or not, even more happy and more free. Then and only then do you have anything to say. Otherwise, it's all just textbook. It's all just something you can learn in a university, but not anything that changes the heart. And yes, I'm picking on my own group, priests and clergy and ministers, but Jesus is primarily not about creating ministers. He's about creating disciples. There's really not two classes. In the church, there's only one class. We're all called to the same discipleship. And what I say about the priests and the ministers, now you know, applies also to you. You don't have anything to say. You don't have anything to talk about until once in your life you've been led to the edge of your own resources and learn how to rely upon the resource, the source, God. Then you know, maybe for the first time, who you really are. And it's not just you, but the God who is in you and with you and for you more than you are for yourself. Until you know that experientially, you don't know the gospel. And then you can freely do what Jesus says at the very end. You don't come to be served, but to serve. You don't come wanting others to take care of you, but you want to take care of others the way you have been so beautifully taken care of.